Welcome to Movie Dudes, I can't even talk. Episode 51, I'm Jeff, as always joined by Chris.
That's me.
And I've seen absolutely nothing since last time, but Chris, you've seen a couple things. What movie you saw?
Yeah, I saw a movie. Came out limited release last week, but it's been up on iTunes On Demand for a little bit. It's called The Europa Report. It's a sci-fi kind of horror film, but I almost want to call it found footage, but it's not. Like, I mean, this isn't footage that was found. It's this alternate, you know, kind of look at the future of what would happen if we sent a manned probe to deep space. And in this case, it's this venture capitalist group. They send a manned crew to Europa, one of the moons of Jupiter, which is a ice moon, I believe. They send them out there based on some speculation from NASA, which is true speculation, actually, like that, maybe years ago or possibly even now that there might be microorganisms or something on there. So this crew is going out there to look for life, like to see, you know, if what's going on out in the reaches of space. They get out there, well, about 10 months in. It's a long trip out. It's a 4-year excursion. About halfway out there, they lose contact with mission control. And all this footage is done from cameras inside the shuttle, from inside helmet cams. It's all being recorded by a central server, which they don't have, you know, once you lose contact with mission control. They're not getting any of that. So they think that this mission's kind of gone dead. But the crew keeps going on with their mission, even though they've lost contact. And all this stuff is videotaped, and shit just starts going bad. More bad. At one point, they're trying to repair something on the outside, and there's two guys doing a spacewalk, and one of them, their suit gets slashed by something. So he has atmosphere pulling out of his suit. So they're trying to get him back into the spacefaract, and the other guy ends up getting some sort of toxin on him, and they can't get him in and the other guy in, so he basically has to be sacrificed, like, to save the guy that's not, you know, contaminated, his suit's not contaminated, but he's dying. You have to get him onto the ship, and then while the other guy, because there's just not enough time to disinfect him, he basically just is left out.
Damn.
In space. I mean, it's a legitimate thing that could happen. And then shit just starts getting crazier. They do a planetary walk on Europa, and the chick falls through the ice, and it just starts getting weirder and weirder. But what's really cool about it is they never show what's happening. Like, you only get like glimpses. They see lights and stuff until the very end, when they kind of fuck it all up. At the end, they've decided they can't get off of Europa, but instead of letting everything go bad, they kind of jack something up. They take the life support system off. They reroute power and equipment to the communications setup and transmit everything back. So that's where all this footage comes from. But unfortunately, right at the end, they kind of give a glimpse of what's been going on, and it's like you could have just left it open ended, and like it was really, I thought it was really cool up until like they actually showed the monster, in quotes. And it's not that the monster was like, you know, rubber man guy or anything, but it was just like you could have just left it up to people's imagination. That's way more scary than showing it.
Yeah, it still sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I liked it quite a bit, and it's all done, like, you have this, the president or CEO of this venture capitalist group. She's kind of, you know, giving commentary throughout this thing, because it's all set up like a documentary, so it's like this true, not true story. So, but yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. I mean, everything kind of looks authentic. I hear that they worked with NASA on some of this stuff, so it's an interesting approach, and it's probably not a lot of people are going to see it because it's limited release. And
yeah, I hadn't even heard of it at all, but
yeah, it's following. I mean, if you could find it somewhere, give it a go. It's nothing astounding, but it's, you know, worth maybe an hour and a half to waste or whatever.
Well, I'm into those, like, I guess it's not found footage, but kind of is. I don't know, maybe that type of movie. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not, you know, staged cameras, like, I mean, where, you know, like regular dramatic films where you're kind of following the character. Like, everything is done as it should be. Like, so you're watching this lady do a moonwalk out on Europa on the ice, and they have a camera on the ship, and they can only see her go so far. The other camera is actually in her helmet, and then one facing her, so you see her reactions and all. But it's not like, oh, well, look at her, like, take this trip on Europa. Like, no, you actually, like, see this little figure walking out, and she keeps walking, and then she disappears. And then you get the view from her camera. So it's pretty cool the way they did it. Definite detail to the science of it all. So.
All right, cool. I'll check it out for sure, actually. And you saw, I guess the Killing just had its season finale.
Yeah, season 3 over on AMC. Guess it was kind of a surprise that this came back, because they had pretty much killed it after season 2. Season 3 was a self-contained story, had nothing to do with the other, outside of the detectives, Lyndon and Holder, who I like. I think they're really good. One is Maria Enos, I believe. I can't think of the guy who plays the dude, but I actually like the chemistry they have. They seem like they're actual cops that would work together. The ending for this was telegraphed in, like, the opening of this the finale, and it was a 2-hour season finale.
Nice.
And it was just kind of, it was a little disappointing that the way it was, like, all right, so this is the dude. You knew from, like, the opening of it, and it's a twist. Like, they've already arrested somebody. It was a pretty lame twist. And then the actual ending sets stuff up. If there's going to be a season 4, it sets some really strange stuff up for how they're going to, you know, play with Lyndon's character. But yeah, well, I liked it throughout most. I thought the first episode was a little wishy-washy, but then the rest of it got really good. I was right back on board watching it every week, right up until this. It was like, these people just don't know how to end.
That sucks.
Sorry.
Usually I love when they do, like, longer episodes for the finale. It's fucking awesome, but you're saying it was not very good.
I mean, the acting is all, I think the acting is always really good in that show, and outside of whenever they try and do action, you can definitely tell that they have a lower budget, because the action isn't, it always looks like somebody just grabbed the camera and, like, hooked it to a car or something. It's nothing, like, really, really good, but it's more a character piece. It's more about these two detectives and their investigation, and it's never really about, like, chasing down people. And I thought they did a really good job of introducing things and introducing some new characters and taking away old characters. They did some weird thing, like, they just left some loose ends open that have nothing to do with what should be going forward. It was a little bit sloppy, but I still liked it. It was just the killer was, you could see the twist coming from the beginning, and it just felt a little sloppy.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. We have something coming up soon that I'm pretty sure won't be sloppy at all.
I hope not. I hope not.
I doubt it. I mean, based on, well, we're referring to Breaking Bad, that's coming back this coming Sunday, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, based on the series track record, I have complete faith that we're going to be, like, glued to our TVs every week, so.
I hope so, like, that 9 o'clock, AMC kind of has me glued for that 9 o'clock time slot. They've done a good job over the last year for me, so.
Yeah. Damn, I can't really say too much about it without ruining the opening scene.
Oh, you've read what the opening scene is, right? Or have you seen it?
I've read it, and I've seen spliced footage of it where it's like, it covers the whole scene, but it's only 15 seconds long, so you're missing a lot of it.
Okay.
But yeah, if you want to know, I can tell you. Otherwise.
No, I got 6 days. I can wait. Especially the way the ending of the last season ended.
Do you think it'll generally pick up, like, at that dinner party?
No.
No? Yeah. It'd be interesting if they did, just showing Hank going back and trying to, you know, see how he reacts throughout the rest of the dinner or whatever.
I think seeing how he reacts, it's 8 episodes, right?
Yeah.
Seeing how he reacts over these last 8 episodes, I think is going to be really interesting, because it's not going to be one thing, obviously, so.
I mean, I think when it comes down to it, Hank is a cop. Like, he's a good guy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think he, like, sides with Walter at all or tries to cover things up for him.
Yes and no. Like, I think that he is a good guy. For his, you know, brash as Hank is, and as, you know, rude and crude as he can sometimes be, he ultimately just wants to catch the bad guys. Mm-hmm. But I also think that, like, somewhere in him is going, this can't be right. Right, like, Walt can't be Heisenberg. Even though he knows. I think there might be this internal battle with him all year, like, where he's just trying to piece everything together.
Well, I think the only way he holds back is if he thinks it makes him look bad at his job, where they're like it makes him look suspicious.
Right.
You know, like, how did you never figure this out, you know?
Right.
But I still think he fucks with Walt big time. Somehow. It's going to be awesome.
No, I... Now that you say that, I'm just wondering if, like, the end of this is going to be Hank just kind of sacrificing himself to take Walt down. Like, shit be damned. I'm a good guy. I have to take him down.
It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting if somehow Walt takes out Hank or kills him, and maybe Skyler helps somehow. That would be crazy. I don't know. But I also don't know is how Jesse's going to factor into it that much. Like, he's done, you know.
Yeah, he was pretty much done at the end of the last season, so.
It's like, how is it going to be where, like, you know, if something's going to happen where Walter's like, Jesse, you have to help me this one last time. I don't know what it'll be, but you know what I mean? Like, I figure something like that's coming where he's like, dude, come on, man. We're almost out of this. Like, you got to help me, you know, take care of Hank and.
Or maybe Hank gets Jesse.
Maybe.
And then it becomes, you know, bad guy with the good guy versus the really bad guy.
Could be. I mean, all we know for sure is that Walter is on his own at the end, at least seemingly, based on the opening scene of season 5, where he's like all disheveled, he's got a full beard, his hair's back. He looks sick, and he goes and buys a very big gun, and he seems pretty much alone at that point. And I know a little bit more, but that's
Donna, let's leave it. Like, I'm just envisioning like a Scarface type ending for him.
Well, I mean, they did say starting off that like they wanted to make it kind of be like Scarface. Like they said that all along.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, they wanted to follow the same arc of like this guy who's a nobody, who becomes like, you know, the king of an empire basically.
And right. Then, who's a nobody who isn't really a bad guy either to start with, like.
Yeah.
And just how the power and everything kind of corrupts him and changes him.
Yep. I'm pretty excited.
Yes, it's going to be fun. this is the first, like, I mean, I have not watched this show live.
Oh, boy, it's painful, so, wait.
Yeah, I mean, it's always, so you got me into it late, and then I was still catching up when season 5 aired, so this is it. Like, this is, I'm on board for the end.
Just wait, dude. Like, you're going to finish that episode on Sunday, and you'll be like, God, I'd pay money to see the next one. I'll pay you. And it's cool, too, because almost everyone, a lot of people anyways, let's say a majority of people we know are, like, on board with the series at this point. So it's going to be fun. Like, Aaron just caught up on it all.
I'll say it'll. Everybody's in on it.
Twitter's going to be exploding every Sunday. The only, like, one person I got to get to watch it is my buddy who I'm moving into his house this week. So I told him, I'm like, you have, like, 4 days to catch up on this series.
You have to watch 5 seasons of television.
Hey, at least it's not like, you know, like The Shield where there was, like, 6 seasons you would have had to catch up on.
Right.
Some of them were, like, really long seasons. Like, Breaking Bad, the first season's only, like, 7 episodes.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, last season 5 isn't that long either, so.
Yeah. If you put season 5 together, it's a long-ass season, but, yeah.
Well, yeah, because this is technically also season 5, but.
Yeah.
Right, that first half is only, what, 8 episodes or something?
Mm-hmm.
And then the longest I think they ever went was, did they ever go 16, or was it always just?
The longest was 13, I think.
Yeah.
I think season 2 was like 12.
Yeah, so it can be done. It's just 4 days is, that's how I go.
Get home from work, be like, all right, start it up. Yeah, it's going to be, I'm going to try to get him to do it. I don't know why he never watched it, but he's just like, I don't know, it seemed dumb. I was like, okay.
I'm kind of with him on, like, the concept of it on the surface is a little, it's pretty goofy.
I've always liked it, though. Like, I like the idea of, you know, you find out you have a limited amount of time left in life. Like, what do you do with it? This guy cooks meth.
That side of it, like, that, like, all right, like, you're dying and you need to help your family. Like, what do you do? But, like, the fact that he's like, I'm going to cook meth. Like, that's where it's like, for a lot of people, that's like, that's crazy. And well, I mean, is crazy, but.
Yeah. Very good, though. Like, yeah. He went to what he knew, though. He knows chemistry. And right. He's like, I'm going to finally.
It makes perfect sense, but.
Yeah. I'm going to have, like, this empty feeling once it's all over. Like, there's no show that I really love anymore. Like, I watch Walking Dead. I watch Sons of Anarchy, but.
Yeah. Walking Dead, I think I watched. I mean, I like zombies and I like horror. And there's nothing else on television like it, but. I'm really getting into American Horror Story, actually.
I watched season 1 of that, and I liked it. It's fucking bonkers, but.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
Yeah, the show is ultra crazy, but I already forgot what the twist was with season 1, but it's a good show. I never watched season 2, though. And I heard that's even crazier than season 1, so. Probably the only other show that I'm really into, but not as much as Breaking Bad, is Boardwalk Empire. I really enjoy that show.
Is that back?
Yeah, it comes back in September, I think.
Okay. I need to catch up on that, too.
Yeah, like, have you watched it at all?
No.
That show, I don't get why people don't watch it. It's really good, dude. Like, I can't really say a bad thing about it.
I mean, I like the concept of it, just have not gotten around to it yet. It takes place in my backyard, like you know.
Yeah, a lot of it takes place, well, it's like
80 years ago, but...
Yeah. It's like New York, Philly, and Chicago is where they set most of the show. And it's mostly real-life gangsters and stuff. Really good show, dude. Like, I don't get the lack of interest in that. Everyone's like, eh, whatever. It's like, dude, it's gangsters, Prohibition era. You got Steve Buscemi. You got Al Capone when he was young beating the shit out of people. Like, it's a great show. I don't know. It's weird.
I will watch it. I don't know if I'll catch up before the new season starts, but I will watch it.
Yeah, you got, there's 3 seasons now.
Yeah. I have them all on HBO Go has everything, so it's easy to just sit down and catch up.
Highly recommended.
All right. You said we had questions, though, right?
Yeah, I got a couple. Let's see. Justin asks, name some of your favorite film critics, smiley face.
Well, I mean, Ebert is, you know, probably the easiest one to,
Yeah. Damn it, you stole my answer.
Well, I mean, yes, Ebert for both of us here, I think. Do you have any other ones, though?
I like a lot of the ones that who have been TV personalities as well, usually through Ebert's show. Like, I like Gene Siskel a lot.
Yeah.
I like Richard Roper a little bit.
Yeah, I liked him on television. Yes.
Yeah, he seems to have decent tastes and stuff, and he'll go for like a raunchy comedy, which a lot of these critics won't. I like a lot of the people that do this show called What's the Flick, which is like a show that is on the Young Turks. So it's like only online. Like one of the guys is Jonathan Kim. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Kim does his own reviews on the side that are really short but really thoughtful. And it's usually examining the movie in like a bigger sense, like what it means. I like him. I like Christy Lemire, who's also on What the Flick, and I will say right now, that chick's a fox, man. You ever seen Christy Lemire?
I don't think so.
She's pretty cute. Probably the cutest film critic that there is out there. You know, there probably isn't many. I don't know, do you have any others?
I mean, I have the locals that I read here, Stephen Ray and, Carrie Rickey. I'm not particularly a giant fan of either one of theirs, but I've been reading Stephen Ray's reviews every week, since I was in grade school. So,
damn,
he's been at the local paper here forever. And Carrie Rickey is okay as well. Statler and Waldorf. they were doing this thing on movies.com where they were reviewing movies. You know, the Muppets, Statler and Waldorf. they were funny, but
what about I think these guys have also done Ebert's show before. A.O. Scott, do you know him?
I've heard the name, yeah.
He writes, I think, I don't know if he still does, but he at least was, and as far as I know still is, the film critic for the New York Times. He tries to show off how smart he is a little bit, like with like super smart words. You know,
right.
But I like him. I also like they used to do the show together for a while. Michael Phillips does this for the Chicago Tribune.
Yeah, I know him.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't have anyone that like really stands out for me like that much, except for Ebert. Ebert was the one I read growing up.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of was the film critic.
Yeah.
And all these other ones kind of followed around behind them, but I really liked the way he did his reviews.
I liked
both TV and print.
Yeah, like he had a great personality on television, but in print is a little bit different. But I always enjoyed what he had to say about a movie, even if I was like, no, you fuck you, you're like completely disagreeing with him. I liked his writing style, I guess you could say, you know.
I mean, he was probably the first guy that, like, he knows what he's talking about for films. I just don't agree with what he likes all the time. So, like, when he did a horror film, particularly slasher movies, he hated them. He didn't like that type of film. So when he said, I don't like this, like, that's kind of my indication to go, I probably will. Like, it was where I kind of learned to, you read for the personality, and you're not trying to maybe match your personality to theirs, you're just trying to see what they like, and then you can apply it to yourself.
Yeah, he was very hit or miss when it came to horror or action films. Like, he hated the original Die Hard. I still can't get over that. But I also felt like I learned a lot about how to write by reading his reviews. So that's probably the biggest thing I got out of him. But I guess that sort of answers his question. Don asks, Disney planes, why does everyone hate it? It has airplanes, bitches. Chris, you have thoughts on that?
Do people hate it?
I didn't know. I didn't know that. I want to hate it on principle, though.
Just as a cash-in? Or, like, what's your hate for it?
It's like, what has happened to Pixar?
Well, that's not a Pixar movie.
It isn't?
It is not a Pixar movie. It is a spin-off of Cars, which, I mean, Disney owns Pixar. So they can pretty much do whatever they want with their properties. But, Planes is not a Pixar movie. It is a Disney Cartoon Studio film.
Wow, I would have never guessed that. I would have figured,
I mean, it looks like Cars, right? Like,
I have not even seen previews of it, but I'm just like, it's like, why take the least of what Pixar has given us and, like, expand on that? It's like, what are you doing?
Yes. And you shouldn't be making movies. You can. I mean, movie making is a business. And I could see why they'd want to do that. Cars is ultra successful, even if it's not, you know, the biggest box office draw for them.
It's just,
as far as, you know, merchandising and all that, it has been a crazy endeavor for them. But, I don't hate Planes. I just have no interest in it. Like, it just doesn't. I don't care.
I'll hate it. No, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I hear you. But, and it's not like I want a sequel to WALL-E. Like, I would be upset if they made a sequel to WALL-E. It's good how it is, you know? But
right.
I guess this is a new IP, but I don't know.
I mean, I'm kind of annoyed that they made a sequel to Monsters, Inc. Like,
yeah, like, why? And that was Pixar, right?
That was the Pixar movie this year, yeah. I haven't seen it. I've heard it's entertaining, but generally I look for more than just entertaining out of Pixar, so.
I almost feel like they shouldn't do sequels. I get the Toy Story ones, and that trilogy worked out great, but, I mean, other than that, they should just... I like them just doing original concepts every time, where you go into the theater not knowing what to expect from it, you know?
Right, because it's almost like the shorts they put before their films are more innovative, more reaching in terms of narrative than anything else that they're putting on screen right now. So, like, some of their shorts have been, I think Paper Man last year won for best animated short, and it was fantastic. It was just told this, like, really short emotional story, which was way more than you could say about Brave, which I liked, but Brave was just a princess movie.
I'm going to have to watch that, because not Brave. I mean, I would watch Brave, I guess, but...
Paper Man?
I'm going to have to watch that, because they usually put those shorts on, I think, YouTube. They usually do it.
Yeah, they're, you probably find them somewhere.
But, yeah, I don't know. Fuck Planes. Don also asked, no, but seriously, am I the only person who loved the original Fog and hated the remake? I doubt he's alone on that.
I didn't like either.
Yeah, I've never seen either one.
I think the original Fog, John Carpenter's The Fog, or Fog, or whatever the fuck it is a goddamn mess of a film.
But here's the thing. Does it have a John Carpenter score on it?
It does. The music is fucking phenomenal.
Then it wins.
It's just, like, as a coherent narrative, I don't really know what the fuck's going on. Something about pirates and gold and ghosts and shit. It's really fucking dumb. But they never really lay that out. They do a better job in the remake of laying it out, but the remake is just hampered by awful acting and, you know, being too long and basically being one of those teen, like, horror films. Like, oh, we're going to put, like, somebody who is college bound or just got to college, he'll be our hero, and we'll give him a pretty young love interest, but there's not really going to be any nudity, so there's just pretty people in the leads.
There was another one he did in the 80s. John Carpenter did that. Like, I remember it not making any sense to me when I was a kid. I think it was called Prince of Darkness.
I believe that is one of his, yeah.
And it starred Dr. Loomis, Donald Pleasance, in it. But I just remember watching it and going, what the fuck is this? Like, seriously, what have you done?
John Carpenter's a bit hit or miss.
He really is, but, like, for a stretch there, like, if you didn't like the movie, it at least had that awesome synthesizer score that he would do for it. Even Halloween 3, he did the score on that. He didn't direct it, but, like, the music in Halloween 3 is great. Yeah, I think the last one he did that I really loved was probably They Live.
I'm not a huge fan of that one.
Really? You don't like They Live?
I like it. It's goofy fun. That's the one with Roddy Piper, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's a dumb movie, but it's fun. So I just don't love it.
It's also the last one that, to me, felt like a John Carpenter movie. With, like, the music, just all that stuff. Like, after that, it was just...
I want to go back and see In the Mouth of Madness again. With Sam Neill.
Yeah, I remember seeing it back in the day.
I remember liking that movie. I don't remember, like, if I go back, if it would be any good. But
yeah, I remember liking it back then, but I remember it was weird, but...
How was Village of the Damned? Like, didn't that star Superman?
Yeah, I liked it, actually, when I was a kid. I forgot what, like, the reaction to it was, though. I personally liked Village of the Damned.
I liked Vampires. Okay, it's cheesy fun, but I liked Vampires. Ghost of Mars is a train wreck. That's a goddamn nightmare.
And I feel like The Ward was pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't love it. I thought it was okay. I did like his Master of Horror that he did two episodes of that. One was called Cigarette Burns, which I'm not fully remembering exactly what that one. I remember I thought I liked it, but the one I really liked was this one called Pro-Life, which takes place... It's like this pregnant girl goes to an abortion clinic, and her dad and his sons, like, basically assault the abortion clinic to get her out of there.
Jeez.
And she is, you know, has a demon, like, in her.
Nice.
It's like that's what she's giving birth to, so. So yeah, I thought it was really good, like, you know, for the 42 minutes or whatever that he had for that, he did a good job. But yeah, fuck the fog, Don. Fuck the fog.
I've never seen it, so I can't say, but I never had any interest in seeing it. I like this question, although I can't think of an answer for it. Tony asks, what's your favorite drinking/drunken scene in a movie?
I do like, I mean, it's going to sound really overwhelmingly generic as it's from a mainstream movie, but the scene where Will Ferrell, I guess it's not him drinking, but what the fuck was the name of that movie?
Old School?
Yes, Old School, where he's running down the street naked.
Yeah, that was
yelling
pretty
about
good.
Yelling about Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I'm blanking on this, which sucks because it's a great question. I don't know, man. Like, I'm sure there's been some out there where, like, that was a great scene, but I'm really blanking on it. Like, the only things that are coming to mind to me are, like, Dazed and Confused, which that whole movie is a drinking scene.
Right.
And it's a really good movie. I don't know. Parts of the Stone Age, which I know is, like, it's an awful movie, but I just always enjoyed it because of how bad it was. I don't know. Like, really, I couldn't tell you. I think of parts of Boogie Nights, but those are usually, like, coke scenes. So it's not really drinking or drunken scenes, but there's just insane scenes in Boogie Nights, like the one where they go, I think they sell this guy some fake coke, and he's, like, he's got a little Chinese kid throwing off firecrackers in the house, and it's fucking insane. I don't know, though. If I think of it, I will let you all know.
Can't remember if it was Karate Kid 1 or... I think it's 1, where Mr. Miyagi, basically, he gets trashed. That's a pretty good one. That's one that sticks out of my mind.
Mr. Miyagi drunk.
Yeah, it's funny, because, like, you just picture him as this reserved kind of karate master, and there's just... And it's sad he's drinking because, like, his brother died or something like that, but... he's just completely out of it. It was a very memorable scene.
I like, vaguely remember there's a scene where he gets drunk. And it's funny, too, because as a kid, I loved Karate Kid, too.
Yeah.
I love both the first two movies, and then I don't know what the fuck happened.
It went to shit after that.
Yeah.
But those first two movies I thought were really good.
And I know, like, a lot of critics didn't like part two, but, like, when you were a kid, I thought it fucking worked great.
It was different. Like, it took place in, you know...
Okinawa, right?
In Japan, so it was this foreign land. Like, as a kid, it's like, this is cool.
Like, I remember...
These people live way differently than we do, and you kind of used Daniel as, like, you know, to transport you there and show you what he was seeing.
I remember, too, there's, like, a crazy storm that happens near the end.
Yeah.
And, like, I think the fight at the end, like, dude, I forget so much of the plot of this movie, but I remember it was, like, personal. Wasn't it, like, a personal fight? It wasn't, like, in a ring, like, you know.
Right, no, it wasn't, like, in the first one where it was a tournament or, yeah, it took place, like, in the village, I believe.
Yeah, and, like, I think it was during, like, this crazy storm that rolls in, like,
I vaguely remember that. I haven't watched it in so long. But...
It's like a hurricane. You got me now kind of wanting to go back and watch the first two. Because the first one, I probably saw it, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, and I was still like, wow, that's such a good movie, you know?
Yeah. So much better than the reboot, remake, whatever the hell you want to call it.
I haven't seen it, but I have one friend who, like, claims it was awesome.
It's not awful, but when you compare it to the original, it's...
Yeah.
Like, this one is of one quality, this one is of another.
But, oh man, I just remember the first one that, like, the other, like there's, like, a rival school or whatever, right? Of kids.
In the first one, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, that one kid was just such an asshole to him. And then finally at the end when Karate Kid, like, fucking beats his ass and he uses the crane kick or whatever, I was like, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah,
he had his legs swept and he he couldn't stand on it. He couldn't put pressure on his one foot.
That's fucking so good, dude. And speaking of movies that end in personal fights, I have to say I've always kind of liked Rocky V. And I know, it's bad, but...
It's a bad movie. It's just that the ending of Rocky V is so absurd. I mean, I live in Philly, so I know those streets. I know the streets of South Philly. I've been down there before, and just to like see this dude get like beat up in the middle of the street and punched into the side of a SEPTA bus. So dumb.
But I remember I saw that one in the theater. I think it was probably the first Rocky I saw in the theater. And I just remember when that fucking punk Tommy punches Polly or whatever, like he hits Polly or something. I got so angry with him. Like, I remember being so upset about him hitting Polly, and then fucking Rocky just beats the shit out of him. Like, I was, like, super into it. You watch it now, that movie's ultra cheesy, but I don't know, it worked on me then.
A lot of that series is ultra cheesy, like,
right.
Looking back, but they were fun for what they were at the time. Like, I love Rocky IV.
I know.
It's just so, like, just that whole training montage. I mean, it's a cliche at this point. Like, it was fantastic at the time, and it's still fun to go back and watch it.
My friend, who is the same person who told me he liked the new Karate Kid was good, his favorite Rocky movie is Rocky IV by like a mile. Like, he's like, the training montage, America versus Russia. Like, it was so over the top, and I'm kind of with him. It's like, it is the most fun of all of them.
Yeah.
And just, like, they had the different training styles. Like, Rocky's, like, out in the wilderness, and this Russian guy's on a machine.
Yeah.
You
see him, like, hauling a log behind him.
Yeah. And it has really good music in that one. Plus, it has the robot. I think that's the one with the robot.
Yeah, at the beginning.
Happy birthday, Polly.
Yeah. So dumb.
That one is probably the most fun out of all of them. But.
Yeah, because that's is that where Apollo Creed dies? He dies fighting him, right, in the ring.
Yeah, he does.
Is it
in four?
I thought it was. For some reason, I'm blurring three and four together, but I thought it was in four.
I know in three Mickey dies, so they probably didn't kill Mickey and Creed in the same one. I do remember also in 3 he fights Hulk Hogan and like during the beginning of it.
Yeah.
And then he fights what's his name? Clubber Lang, the fuck is his Mr. T.
Yeah, Carl Weathers, right, cause Rocky IV has James Brown and Living in America.
Yeah.
And that's when Apollo Creed goes to fight Drago. Yeah. That's so bad.
Oh, so like Ivan Drago kills him or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, or he could, like, beat him to basically death.
Yeah, I don't know how he started talking about Rocky, but yeah, Rocky's awesome. But yeah, I think that's, as far as questions, that's basically all I got.
Yeah, all right. Well, we will be back at some point, I guess. Talk about Breaking Bad. It's coming.
Yeah, for sure that. I don't know what else I really want to see that's coming up. I'm going to see that, actually, the one that you talked about tonight, the Europa Report.
Okay.
I'm probably going to watch that. Sounds cool.
Yes, maybe I'll have some input on that. I'm going to try and see either Elysium or... a comedy with Jennifer Aniston, the drug comedy. Word of the Millers.
I have not seen anything on that.
It looks so dumb.
I really want to, if I can. I'd have to go, I don't know how I would see it, but I want to see Fruitvale Station.
I heard that's really good.
It looks really good, but yeah, I don't know. I guarantee you it's not playing in DeKalb, because I already looked.
Yeah, probably not.
So, like, only, like, the biggest movies play there, unfortunately.
So, you have to hope for some video-on-demand stuff.
Yeah.
Which, that one probably won't be for a bit. But. All right, well, we will catch you all at some point in the near future. And if you're listening to this, you've already found the site, so... Yeah, you. yeah, so I guess that's it.
Yes.
Alright.
Movie dudes.